Welcome back, or welcome to Golf Nerds with me, Guy Cross, the golf nerd. And well, flip jibbity D. It's been a long time since I recorded a podcast, but this virus has hit my lifestyle and golfing lifestyle very hard. And I got 9 holes in last week, or maybe 10 days ago, with my kid when he had some time off school. And it was glorious. I sucked. You know, looking at golf has something to do with score and performance. I was terrible. Looking at golf at moments of absolute grandeur and excellence, yeah, there were some. But, you know, I think between us, my son's 9 and doesn't play much, but he loves it. I think we used to play in about 20 balls in 9 holes, but everyone we lost, we laughed really hard at. I think he shanked 4 into a lake back to back. At one point I said to him, "You shank that one a bit further, you might hit that bird." And he almost did, which was really funny. So golf is great, even if you suck. And it reminds me of some phrases that I've said to friends about various things in life. And let's just hold that thought. As the world opens in a post-COVID season, golf is great, even if you suck. I'm a bit bored of people going, "Oh, I haven't played for 12 months and I picked up my golf club and went and shot 63. Like, fuck you. I haven't played in 12 months and I went and shot 63, but the back 9 went a little better. That's what this is about, right? You know, I am a golf nerd and I thought of little else, especially as there's light at the end of the COVID tunnel for me now, to get out and play. And to get out and practice every day. I've thought of little else, but in the same breath, who cares, right? I've sort of re-fallen in love with the game. Like hitting a golf ball really hard and low with a long iron and it sort of fizzes off your clothes. That gives me a hard on, right? I love it. It doesn't really, because, you know, with my kid that would be weird, borderline illegal. But, you know, it's very exciting. I'm reminded of how good this podcast has been. Last time I sat at this very table and recorded a podcast, I'm at a coffee shop, I was talking to you mean Barney, just your average golfer, and we swapped some great messages about golf in the last few weeks, and more needs to follow on that, I think, but slowly, right? Because who needs to perform quickly in golf right now? A whopping 3-minute monologue to start, but it was completely unplanned. I had some stuff I wanted to say, but I haven't said it yet. Anyway, in this turmoil of COVID, I've seen some of my favourite things to rant at you about crop up again. Golf clubs, like the membership bodies, like not the bats themselves, but the groups of golfers. And things like that. And so, should we go? I made a post on Facebook in a golf group that got deleted. And it was very simple and concise. And it said, it would appear to me that golf clubs are treating their members like shit. Full stop. I stand by that comment. I think it's quite accurate. I haven't really thought it through. And I say that, and someone's like, "Oh, you're so negative, you're so negative. I hate you. Face smells like wee." But that's not. So you know why you're always so negative? Please be positive. I was like, okay, I'm positive. Golf clubs are treating people like shit. But what I mean is, if you went into a Mars bar, into a shop, and bought a Mars bar for our American friends, a Mars bar, It's a chocolate bar, right? You bought one of them. What are they called in America? They're called a Milky Way because you've got that shit mixed up. You bought a Mars bar. A candy bar. And you handed over your dollar, your pound, your euro, your rand. And they said, that's great, you can have it in 3 months. You'd be like, fuck you. Your shop's shit, give me my chocolate bar. And if the man in the shop was kind, he'd give you your money back. And if everyone took that attitude, the shop would close. But who gives a flying fuck, right? Because what a shit shop. But in golf, right, what you're supposed to do is pay your, let's say, $1,000, £100, one gold bullion, you know, your third-born son. And then you can't play golf now because of the virus. So, yeah. And you're like, all right, no, that's fine. I'm not upset about that, but can I have my money back? Oh, no, we can't give you your money back because, you know, golf, grow the game. Hashtag live under par or whatever bullshit reason they make. And you're like, well, you're a business, right? If I pay for someone, I expect a product. Or if I'm paying for the promise of a product, you know, maybe some sort of discount, special agreement, you know, what's going on. And some golf clubs have been great. You know, I am a dick. And so I know some golf clubs have really stepped up. And the golf club I loosely affiliate myself with, North Wales, although not financially, they've been great to people. I think basically they've gone, yeah, we're so cheap. There's no discounts, but yeah, you go find somewhere cheaper and better if you want, you're free. And if you quit, you can quit, but you can't come back for a year. You make the choice. And that's fine. You know where you stand, right? It's almost a middle finger from them, and I don't mind that. I like that approach, because I go, yeah, fuck you, see you in a year. And that's fine. And I wouldn't say, yeah, fuck you. I go, no, no worries. I'm going to cancel my membership for a year, but if you open up before, I'll just pay as a guest. And I know they'd be like, yeah, cool, you're welcome to. Welcome to. I get it. Like, you bet on the institution. But these places are like, no, you can't, and you're never allowed to join again. And, oh, fuck you. It just, like, it's bad for golf because these people are bad for golf. And not that they're particularly bad for golf. They're just bad people, I think. I've got no other explanation for it. Because if you walked into a shop to buy, you know, a cup of coffee and you paid, and they said your coffee will be 3 months, like, yeah, but I want my coffee now, that's why I paid, you know, like, yeah, but no, the government, like, well, you shouldn't have taken my fucking money then. Now, you could argue, and it'd be a valid argument, actually, I think, that you knew you weren't going to get the cup of coffee, so why did you pay? But you could walk into a golf club and say, hey, I want to join. And I don't mind paying you like my joining fee now, but I don't want to start paying monthlies or whatevs until you're open. And they're going to say, no, you can't do that. We've got, you know, it's not our fault. We've got bills. Like, I don't give a shit about your bills. I'm your client. Your bills are your problem. And not my problem. My bills are my problem. And right now you're one of them. But we're supposed to suck up. And people are like, oh, what would you do if the course club closed? And like, I go to a different golf club. There's fucking hundreds of them. And then in the same conversation said, oh, could we start a petition to save my golf club because it needs a government bonus bump money, free money, to stay open? And my question was like, yeah, but is it worth saving? Like, fuck, I couldn't ask that. Really could not ask that. Because people were like, well, it's a golf club, sacred land. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a golf club. And if it's a shit golf club, it'll close. And then somebody said, oh, but, you know, what we need in golf. No, why am I putting on my twat voice? He said a valid point. It's like, what we need in golf is accessible golf clubs without that are cheap to play and that may be a bit ropey. We need more of them and not twat country clubs that are really expensive. There's always going to be a hierarchy, but we may need to support the bottom end of the market. And I was like, damn straight, motherfucker. Like, you're preaching to the choir. But this shithole golf club was some, like, elite country club that's always very busy, full of members and guests, and they're very busy on the society circuit. And then they should have the fucking money to stay open then. Yeah. But do you know why these places don't have the money to stay open? Jollies. Jollies take a lot out of a budget. They don't tell you about jollies. Chairman, secretary, club captain going to the R&A tent at the Open. No one tells you about these things. Ask your club about them, if you're British, right? Or ask if your club is praying for your club captain to go to the show in Florida every February. Ask. Find out who's paying for it. They're called jollies. Okay? And that membership money you're paying every year, oh, we've still got bills. No, they don't. Not the same money. That would be ridiculous. Some golf clubs are great. Like, they are genuinely saying, look, course is closed because of virus. But if you keep paying, we're making this golf course the best effing golf club ever. Because we've got your, let's say, our 20 grand a month maintenance budget. But there isn't any wear and tear on the golf course. So we're taking that chunk of change and we're investing it. So when you come back, the golf club's going to be amazing. Invest in us and we're going to repay you with best golf ever. Fine. Like, it may not, I may not make the decision to make the investment, but I would understand why someone would. You know, makes sense. And what I've liked about the golf club I've been loosely affiliated in Wales is they put on WhatsApp, on Instagram. Like, look, while we've been closed, we've done this, 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 and this. I'm like, fair play, man. And some of it, they haven't spent money. Or, you know, not masses of money. It's like, we've painted the toilets, we've cleaned the locker room. We've put a couple of new targets on the range. And they're cheap targets, like, you know, things that cost $100, 100 quid, you know, just your kid's toe or something. But it's, they've got the time to do it, so they're using their time. Fine. But I've also seen clubs that say, oh, we're struggling so much with money, we need you to keep paying. And their photos, the golf course, they're shit. Like, you know, like, right, fair enough, you're, you've still got bills, but you're paying your staff. But why, what are they doing, right? Surely their balls can only be so itchy. Eventually, they've got to stop scratching their balls and start doing some work. Just my opinion. So yeah, if a golf course closes because it's shit, I could give two fucks. I'm not emotional about golf courses, actually. I've realised this because one of my favourites in Wales closed or is about to close. I could give a shit. I played it once a year ago and it was fun nostalgia, but no hurry to go back. And you know, now I'm obviously not going back. And so, fine. I'm glad I got a knock around there before it closed. I wouldn't lose any sleep if I didn't. There's within 10 miles, I can think of 1, 2, 3, 4 decent golf clubs. No loss. Firm but fair, right? And some of them are expensive, and that golf course served a lower end of the market, but some of them are cheap. So they can go there. And some of the members go, oh, but that, I can't go and play there because it's a shit golf club. Well, you know, with 20, 30, 40, 50 new members, that golf course that was too shit for you to play at will have a bit more money. They'll probably invest in it. And if they don't, well, you should have chosen more wisely. Actually, no, there is one cheap golf course. I know it's shit as well, though. Anyway, I digress. They wouldn't spend the money on the club anymore. Kimmel Park, shit. So, where was I? Well, I think we've done club membership, right? How long have we been going now? 11 minutes. 11 minutes. It could be another quick one. We've got some golf to talk about, right? I've been watching a little bit of the PGA Tour. I was desperate for Jordan to win, but it's great to see him shooting under par, living under par. You know what I mean? It is great to see him doing well and back in the game. I hope he gets top 50 in the world again. I use that as an arbitrary number. It's what you need to get in the Masters and stuff, you know, on your own. And I think of the top 50 golfers, if you stay in that ranking, you know, for a good few years, your time comes to get hot, and he deserves it. The shit he's been through, and he's somehow an exciting golfer to watch. I really enjoy watching him. When he's on, right? I'd rather watch Jordan Spieth win a tournament with a 69. You know, I'd rather watch Jordan Spieth show 468s and win a tournament, as the sort of thing he's done in the past, than watch Bruce Koepka do, you know, shoot 62. And I don't know why. I appreciate the quality of Bruce Koepka as a golfer. But I don't like him. He invokes no emotional response from me. And he should. Hits the ball a mile. When he's on, he's on. He's got a really cool golf bag. He doesn't particularly like golfers. Like, I'm all over it, but I can talk myself into it, but ultimately I don't get that buzz. Whereas you've got Jordan Spieth with his Titleist Under Armour combo, which I have talked about as the most boring combo in golf. And it kind of is, but I'd love a 009 like Jordan Spieth's. And I can't deny that the Pro V1X is one of the best golf balls in golf. I just can't. I want to, but I can't. My favourite three wood till I hit my Orca was my Titleist 915 three wood. I'm sure the Titleist blades are great if you get a good build. If you buy them from a shop, they're probably rubbish. But to be fair, if you buy most golf clubs from a shop, they're rubbish. So, yeah. I was thinking, shall I announce it? I think I'm ending my fatwa on Titleist. It's not like I'm going to go and buy all their stuff. I still sincerely dislike the way they market themselves to junior and elite amateur golfers. And that won't change. But you know what? I dislike the way TaylorMade market their lineup. And that may change with the change of ownership. But I dislike the 6 months release cycle. You know, of the people I like the most, I don't like Cobra's current range of irons. I think the gold looks cheap. The bronzy, goldy brown they put out, I think looks cheap. You stand it next to a Beku, brilliant copper, Ping IT, and you buy it just on looks, I buy the Ping every single time. But at least Cobra sort of do what they do, right? They sell solid gear that looks kind of shocking. And it's not bad. It's no worse than anyone else. And it's often really aggressively priced, which I salute. And then you've got your Mizuno and Ping, who are making quality golf gear, hopefully well made and well built. But they've got a legacy they respect. Wilson, I'd be all over Wilson as well. I think they're good gear. I haven't had a chance to play it, but it looks gorgeous and I respect that company. But yeah, I'm ending my fat wire on Titleist. So I can officially announce that I'm putting the Titleist Bullseyes back in the bag. I might do, might not. I'd be a fool to not talk about Scotty Cameron's work with Titleist seriously impacting the putter industry. He's done great work. The mass release models, you know, the 399 from Dick's Sporting Goods type select range of shite, overpriced shite. But there's some other beautiful, well-made golf clubs with his name on it and Titleist, and I'm not going to deny that. So yeah, but I'm not going out to buy a fucking FootJoy golf glove in a hurry. But if they want to give me some, that'd be great. I wouldn't mind trying some of them Left Dash Pro V1Xs as well. Although I'd probably more likely play the Callaway Chrome Soft XLS. That looks like a great golf ball. But then why do that when I could play the Snell MTB? Which is cooler. And there's a few reasons why if I was a tour pro, I wouldn't play Snell golf balls. Mainly support, right? It's not the quality of the product. But if I play Titleist or Callaway or even TaylorMade, TPX, TP5X, you know, they're on every range. I can just walk up to the van and get a box of them whenever I need. Titleist, they'll carry back stock of the year I prefer. If I was on tour, I get it. You play a minority brand, you can't get that. It's not that the ball's any better, but the support the size of the brand can give you is. Same with Orca irons. While I'm playing golf at my level, I will have Orca irons in the bag because they're the best. I get tour level support from Alex and Orca Golf. If I want my irons to tune up, he'll do it. If I've got a set of wedges I particularly love, he would take them off my hands, send them off to his guy who does golf refurbs, get them back, or, you know, looking sharp, rebuild them to the same swing weight loft and everything I had before. Help me out with the grind, I'm sure. And, you know, that's tour support. It doesn't come free, right? I've got to pay for it. But you don't get that if you buy a set of TaylorMade from American Golf. And you've probably spent more money. So that's where I'm at. Golf stuff. In my homage to Jordan Spieth, I was putting some hours with my Ping Dale head. It's got Superstroke 1.0 on it in honor of Jordan Spieth. And yeah, it really felt good. I forgot how much I loved that setup. So I might rebuild that and put some weight into the head and just enjoy playing with that club again. Or I might just buy a 009 if I come into $5,000. I would love one. I would want it rusty as fuck like it's there. I always try and give you one tip to improve your golf. And, you know, I feel a bit of a fraud saying that. But I tell you what I'd do. If I wanted to improve my golf, and I do, like all golfers. But if I was you and I didn't know which area to work on, I would do this. Here's what I'd work on. Obviously, we all need to work on our putting. So let's put that to one side. Next thing, I'd go back to my one and only favorite drill, which is find your favorite wedge shot. Take the wedges you own to the driving range with a ton of golf balls and just hit them until you find one shot you love the look of, the feel, the way it flies, the way it reacts, and own that shot. Just get really good at it. Doesn't matter what it is. It really doesn't matter. If it's a 30-yard pitch with your lob wedge or 9-iron or pitch and wedge, doesn't matter. If it's a 125-yard pitch and wedge that you just feel you own it, that's great. And anything in between, it doesn't matter. Because you've got this go-to. It's just such a valuable resource. Your ball's up on a par three and you're behind a bunker in a lake up a tree. You're like, if I can somehow get this to within 30 yards of the hole, I've got my shot. I know I've got this one shot that I can just turn on. And half the time I'm going to get up and down from there. And the other half of the time, I'm just going to, you know, I'm walking off with four. It takes away the need to do that hero shot. But if your shot is 100 yards plus, you've got that go-to layup. You're standing on a tricky par four. You don't fancy that long drive, you know, to get the ball within 50 yards of the green or even have a look at the green. You just don't fancy it. Pull out your four iron, go for your 100-yard number. For me, number's 105. Go for that number. Know that you're hopefully looking at a good solid putt for a three. And you, if you hit that shot to put you at 105 yards, in my case, from 105 yards, there is so more often than you make five, you're making three. And that's within any golfer who I say breaks 90. Because I remember when I was playing off 18, I used to, and forgive me, when I was playing off 18, it was in the late 80s, early 90s, we had Blades and Balata, right? So I knew from 120-ish yards, I could hit a really smooth 8-iron and find the green every single time. And when you're playing off 18, that's money, man. That's a money shot. Most courses have a short par 3 of about 120. That's one par. I'm off 18, right? That's a birdie in that. If par's according to my handicap. Plus, there's probably going to be at least one hole where I'm in the fairway with about 120 and I'm holding an 8-iron. That's another birdie. So I'm 2 under my handicap and I've not really done anything special. And now, with a bit more knowledge of the game, I'd know if I was I'd be hunting out that number all day. I really would. I'd be match play king. All these kids looking at 310 yard par fours and slashing balls into the trees, I'd be hitting like 6-iron, 8-iron in and just walking off with a par and a hole in my back pocket every single time. Because if you're an 18 handicapper playing match play and you can make a few pars, I'm them for. Like, I've talked about it a lot. I played a lot of golf with 18 handicappers, and I take on 2 or 3 guys in a scramble and give their team of 3 a shot a hole, and I had to work to beat them. You know, I had to be making birdies to beat those guys. And if they're making a few pars, which they always were, my life was hell. Right, that's going to be me. So there's your tip. I'm off. Ciao. Take care. Goodbye.